Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Diving right back into a Monday morning, 8 o'clock on your commute. Traffic getting a little bit busier now. More people waking up, getting into the workday. Feel like today is one of those days. It's the only one of the week that you're doing. And now that Bob made sure that every teacher in America hates me, bless all you teachers this week. Enjoy the time off. Someone said I'm the Homer Simpson GIF now. Watch your tongue, Dusty. My wife works 65 hours grading. I didn't say. So they get more time off nowadays than they did in the past, which is good to see. So if I offended any teachers, I apologize. It was not supposed to be that way.
Struggling.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Just kidding.
Now you got Joe Namath. I'll take it all. All you Colorado haters, feel free to attack me. It's fine. I enjoy it.
I'm sure there were some K-Staters sitting there on Saturday night putting their pants on, thinking about Dusty on Monday. Wear it as a badge of honor, my friend.
I do.
If they're thinking about you on the weekend, you won.
You won. Exactly. Compliment.
Rob Breton in the text group. Hey, Dusty, rock chalk. I said, perfect. I own it. I'm glad you got off your biggest win of the year, and you immediately came to me and said, hey, Dusty, eat it, pal. More and more people saw the commercial that airs on KSHB.
I missed it, thank God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you have to see it either.
You're in it. Yeah. You're in it there, Bob, next to Officer Farva. Yeah. I look like after we got done shooting that commercial, I asked for a liter of soda or a liter of cola. Boy, it's not good.
Now, let me just say this. You're a good-looking guy. That did not depict you in the best light.
That's your co-host?
What's with the mustache?
It was bad timing. I didn't know that was going over the airwaves of the TV. I thought it was just going to be like those ads downstairs.
Oh, God, no. No, you can never sit back and just think that something's not leaving the building. And so if you show up with a mustache and there's a camera there, chances are people are going to see that thing. You want a redo, don't you?
Whew.
I would have. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was right around Halloween time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were courting a lady, and she had a Halloween idea. You went along with it, mm-hmm. So you get a free pass. We all do weird things. I've had
by everybody
tips.
But Binkley.
Yeah,
you get frosted tips when you were 20, dude.
I was 27.
Oh,
she was 21.
Oh. Okay. I didn't know you were 27 with frost tips.
Yeah.
I was 37 with a mustache looking like Farva.
Yeah, you didn't look so good. But see, when I was 27, it was like the early 2000s.
It was more acceptable.
Yeah, it really was, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Dustin's
the mustache
the
thing, are people...
Think I have a van with tinted windows? No.
Are people wearing the mustache today because it's ironic or because they think it looks good? Like, Kurt Nelson looks good. Can't not have a mustache if you're Kurt Nelson, okay?
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of these ball players today that are wearing them, like Paul Skeens.
Like, if Andy Reid shaved his mustache, I'd be like,
oh, my God.
What
is that?
That
would be startling.
Right. So, my wife's father, and my wife's already been to Hy-Vee this morning, getting the shopping done for Thanksgiving, getting the gas points, 30 points, because the Chiefs scored 30 yesterday. Right? So, she's already been to Hy-Vee. She tells the story when she turned 18, her dad shaved his mustache and she saw him for the first time in her life with no mustache. Mm. And she started crying because she didn't recognize him for 18 years. This gentleman had a soup strainer right there. Right.
I mean, I will say the mullet has gone longer than I thought it was going to last.
I don't mind it. The mustache, though, it just looks bad.
Yeah, it's rough.
Right. And I know I'm old
good,
and get
though.
Off my lawn and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I did it during COVID, and I'm like, I can't deal with this, but I did it because my wife didn't like it, so I kept it on and whatnot. But, I mean, like, Paul Skeens, you've got this beautiful girl with you, And you look like Joe Dirt with that mustache. Like, it just doesn't work.
Maybe she's into it.
I think she must. She has to,
right? Because that's frost the tips mustache for women. We do weird things, right?
He's also.
What's the weirdest thing you've done for a woman, Mac?
I mean, I'm growing my hair back out because Hannah wants it, but I don't mind my hair long either. I like it.
Kelsey grew his hair out because Taylor said she liked it better that way.
Yeah. Like, we've all done stuff like that.
See, there's a Chiefs topic right there. We got it in there in the 8 o'clock segment.
So I look at Dusty.
Say we didn't talk Chiefs.
In that commercial with the mustache, he was courting a woman at the time.
Exactly.
It happens.
She was Flo and I was Doug.
Give it a rest. Let him be. You're just jealous. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. No, but that mustache got to go.
Yeah, but seriously, it did not look good.
Somebody said Arthur Smith pulls it off. No, he does not.
No, that's another one. It looks fake. You got to be you, right?
Yeah.
Andy Reid, Kurt Nelson. Mm. That's about it with the mustaches. Everybody else, it's a case of the try too hards. And like, as you mentioned earlier, that one guy looking like he owned a craft brewery. You know, like, that's kind of where it is.
Yeah. And I just think, I don't know. If everybody else does it, why not? You know, why don't I do it?
I don't know. Everybody else jumped off the bridge out here.
The beards kind of came around pretty popular in like 2010. It was like beards all of a sudden were a thing. Like, I don't know.
Guys just don't like shaving. Do you like shaving? I hate it. I do it once a week. It's Monday morning and that's it for me.
Not my whole face.
Yeah.
I also suffer of like sensitive skin. Like, I've got to get that nice, like, Nivea for men gel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't like doing it.
Yeah, then
it
sucks.
I do like, I'll do it tonight because I have to get a haircut because I have a fro right now. But I do like to, like, you know, do the nice little, like, trim my beard up, shave. But, I mean, I come from the days of my dad dropped me off at school with an electric razor, be like, I'll see you tonight. Take care. I'm just like, you're just doing that? Like, right here?
Wow.
And a little catcher.
That's crazy. Yeah, I don't even have the option of any of this, so it's all good for me.
You don't have any facial hair, do you?
I mean, yeah.
You've never shaved once.
Oh, no, I have to shave. But it's like
a little bit here and there. Yeah, don't complain. Don't complain.
No, I'll take it.
Do not complain.
I will take it. For a while, I was sad because I'm the only, both my brothers can grow stuff. But I'm like,
who cares, man? It's fine. As long as you can grow it on your head, right?
Yes.
And then that'll stop, and then it'll grow in your ears and your nose and everywhere else you don't want it to go. And then the best thing you have is an electric trimmer to cut all these stragglers.
Mm-hmm. I'm 3 years away from buying the old nose clipper.
Oh, that's the best thing ever. Ear hair, nose hair, eyebrows. Like, I mean, I don't like to see somebody with a straggling nose. Do you tell somebody? They're sitting there, they got this nose hair protruding out their nose. I remember
you guys are pretty close to see one of those aggressive ones. But I mean, if it's just like, you got to be like,
no, this
dude, got a nose.
About 20 years ago, we're at the press box at Royal Stadium, and Don Fortune at the time had a long one really sticking out of his nose, right?
You got to let that go.
And so everybody notices it. Nobody's saying anything. LaFever walks up to him and goes, Don, watch that thing. You're going to poke my eye out.
Well, at least it's humorous about it.
That's so
like, only Ryan could pull it off like that. And I'm like, oh my God, that's why he's the greatest of all time. Restraining order in full effect now, I'm sure, on Ryan LaFever. But anyway.
Who would never grow a mustache?
No, he wouldn't, nor should he. But I think it was so long, like, self-groom, that's all.
All right, so look, I don't want to see anybody hanging their head, man. In this league, it's crazy. That's the way this thing goes. You saw it yesterday with college football. Nothing's given to you, and you're getting their best shot. So you keep your head.
Shot at Colorado.
We get this thing.
I think
rolling.
It was.
We got some things we got to clean up. But we keep it rolling here. That's the important part. Winning is the important part right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys bear down and got it done. All right, let's give it one Chiefs here. How about those
Chiefs?
The only reason I think it was kind of a shot, if you will, at Colorado. Is because they showed that picture of Deion and Andy on the field at Arrowhead on, what was it, Friday or whatever the case may be. And they were standing out there.
Wasn't a shot at Indiana.
No. Maybe Alabama losing that game to Oklahoma the way that they did.
Mm.
I mean, Alabama, you know, showed up for 7-0 and then forget about it. Oklahoma, I mean, the whole thing in college football this week got kind of out of whack. So I think it was a shot at Colorado, though.
Mm. Dang it. Hate to see it. Somebody from the text line, I'll ask you guys this serious question. If Detroit played the Chiefs' schedule, would they still be 10-1?
I have no idea the answer to that question. I'd like to say no, but I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't care.
Oh, we never got to the script, did we?
Yeah, we can get it next time.
Oh, we'll get it, yeah.
All right. Coming up on the other side, I promise, we will get into the script here on 96.5 The Fan, but I must ask you a question before we do that. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home Sports Radio, Kansas
City. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
I don't want to waste your time. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to give you the light of day, which looks very gloomy. Arctic blast in full effect coming through.
Yeah, baby.
Go look at next Saturday's or this Saturday's temperature.
Nope, don't do it. Do not do it.
Well, Mac was thinking about taking the fiance to the game on Friday.
Oh, and is I
was
he like, not going to do it now
I
because
said,
you're too
you see
wimpy?
The high? He goes, well, the last two games we've been at, they've been freezing. I said, well, the high Friday's 37, dude.
Yeah, it's supposed to be at 40 on Saturday. We'll be out there. I'm not sure what time we'll get out there. Probably 9 a.m. for a 2 p.m. start, so... We'll be rocking and rolling, tailgating with leftovers this weekend. Nobody's really cooking this weekend.
Oh, that's good.
That's
I like
smart.
That.
Doing the leftover tailgate. So,
somebody
can
just make a leftover pizza. Then you just have to heat it up when you get there.
Yeah.
Or just do whatever you want to do with the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
You said 40 on Saturday?
Yeah, about 40, right? 39, I think I saw.
Yeah, 30. Probably, okay, Sunday, Sunday, 26.
Yeah, forget about that. That's cold. Yeah, that's a big difference in 40 on Friday.
Watching
every
other NFL game from my house.
Yeah, yesterday was kind of like that last day where you could get out and, you know, we did some more leaves again yesterday and all that nonsense. We have no trees, but yet we still have more leaves than I don't know what. It's ridiculous.
Ah, the anti-flex game.
Yep.
Because the Simpsons did it. Let's get into the script, see how wrong we were. I know I said something about Hopkins, something about Kelsey. So I need to get this is my script. This week is the get right week for Patrick Mahomes. He's taking the driver to Hoots Hollow. For those of you that get that reference, I'm so proud of you. Hoots Hollow, wide open goat ranch course. You can use the driver on every hole you want.
Gotcha.
Sounds like a course for me.
Yeah. Oh, we'd love it out there, guys. And Patrick Mahomes is going to love it out there in Carolina.
Mm.
It's the get right game. It's the Hoots Hollow game. Get back to shooting 72, Pat. The hell with it. I don't care. Blow them out. We're going to see it this week. I think DeAndre Hopkins has his style of game this week. I'm looking at like 7 for 76 and a touchdown. Because like we said last week, vanilla. DeAndre Hopkins hasn't done anything out of running a route that isn't other than vanilla. He's running goes. He's running slants. He's running drags. He's not doing anything spectacular. Nothing that they've seen yet. They don't have to. He's a vet. But he's going to have 7 for 76 at least in a touchdown. I think Pop and Hunt get the wheels turning together this week. I don't know how much they're in the game, but I think it's an equal share and an equal split in the backfield. Slightly showing you what the future will look like for the running game for Kansas City. As for Kelsey, decent day. 5 to 6 receptions, 55 to 65 yards. And I think that the defense gets 3 sacks. And boys, I'm doing it again. Trent McDuffie gets his first interception against Bryce Young.
Yes.
And the Chiefs win 34-3. That's a 31-point win. That is a blowout. Stay focused, Dusty, and stay focused on what you want. Patrick Mahomes, take the driver to Hoots Hollow.
I know blowouts don't matter in the long run. I get it. But I think this team wants that juice. I think they're ready for what it would provide. Every other elite team in this league has done it once. They've done a blowout. They've had a blowout this year. The Chiefs are the lone team. Now's their turn. I see at least 4 deep ball attempts. This is the, hey, we're going to just figure this out. We're going to get into flow state as far as 40, 50-yard passes go. I think 2 of those are specifically to number one, the rook, Xavier Worthy. At least one of those, if not both, are hitting. They're going to be massive gains. That's the part of the get right script for me, that deep ball specifically. We're going to see the immediate impact of Pacheco on the run, but it's going to be 10 to 15 carries. He's going to have one that goes for 10 to 15 yards when it looks like what Hunt would be a 3 to 4 yard carry. But he won't get much work. Another game for a P-Ryan touchdown, by the way. I called that right a few weeks ago. I think this is another one for Samaje. Kelsey and D-Hop looked the part as well. I think they combined for over 120 yards. And then defense, like Dusty said, gets 3 sacks, 1 interception. I don't know who it is, but they're getting a turnover. Chiefs win 30-6.
Here's my script. Judging based on last week, I think it's going to be a game where Patrick Mahomes reminds the NFL that he's still the best quarterback in the league, and I think he's close to perfect on Sunday afternoon. He will connect on the short, on the intermediate, and finally hit Xavier Worthy on a long pass down the sidelines. Guys, it's coming. Travis will find his groove again, get into the end zone with a touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins will once again show why the Chiefs went out and got him, as he will lead the team in receiving yards. The first play of the game, now if he plays, and that's my caveat on that one, but I think he will, the first play of the game will be an Isaiah Pacheco run to get him back into the flow right away. The defense heard the noise about pressuring the quarterback. They come up with a multi-sack game. Chiefs win 31-17.
That is what's in the script. Mac, you were ass.
It was so bad, dude. God, that was so bad.
Bob wasn't bad. He said Mahomes gets it right, nearly perfect. That's where we let the show.
I thought Mahomes was perfect yesterday. Yeah, I really did.
He was incredible.
Like, he was awesome yesterday.
That's the MVP Pat you like to see. We didn't know that Isaiah Pacheco was going to be a scratch until like way later in the afternoon. So we all miss on that, which I thought he was going to play. But not does he play this week?
Yeah. I think the plan is, as of today anyway, they hope he's going to play this week. And I think this is the week that he does play. You give him that one more opportunity before you have this Raider game to make sure he's 100% healthy. And probably a lot of us thought going into that Carolina game, well, let's see if we can get through one more without having to use him because it is the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Had that been a game against the Chargers, maybe you see Isaiah Pacheco back in the lineup. But I think this week he gets back against the Raiders.
Probably the same for Aminihue, right, too, Bob?
I think so. Okay. I think that's kind of the plan, cool. of what's going to happen, with this team. But I think more importantly, get these guys healthy for the playoffs. And if it takes another week where you have to rest them before December, I'm fine with that as well, but I think we're all kind of, scratching at the bit a little bit, or whatever they like to say, champing at the bit, I guess is the proper way to put that. I think we all want to see kind of Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Omenihu back in this lineup, because I think both of them are going to present something that this team is missing right now, that burst of energy, that newfound youth, if you will, because Charles Omenihu hasn't played all year and Isaiah Pacheco hasn't played since what, week two?
Mm.
Right? Week two is the last time he played Cincinnati, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, the snapped foot, which is amazing that he's already going to be back.
Right.
I just cannot believe that. So Bob gets Max. I don't really have any check marks for you.
No, it's terrible.
I got all X's. It's like bad. Like my life. Bob, I got two check marks for you. I got Mahomes and the defense with a couple of multi sacks.
Well, they got it right. Yeah. Hey, they got two. They got technically, like, I saw at the end of the game, two, and I'm like, two? I don't remember a sec. Oh, they stopped the guy for no gain.
That's right.
Fine.
I think I have three check marks on the script. Kelce, 6 for 62. That's anywhere from 5 to 6, from 55 to 65 yards. That count?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. You okay with it?
Yeah. Sure. No, I don't know why I did it last time.
Hey, sit down, man. Eat at Jasper's enough, you turn Italian,
you
man.
You Italian.
Hey, man, let me tell you something.
Sure.
You cough at the table again. Hey, be the last time you come in here. And then
you got Hopkins, right, for a tutty.
Hopkins, I said, 5 for 35 and a touchdown. He had 7 for 76. Or I said he'd 7 for 76 and a touchdown. He had 5 for 35 and a touchdown. That's eh.
I'll give you
a
touchdown.
And then Mahomes was back to being Mahomes. Took the driver to Hoots Hollow. He sure did.
He's been doing that the last 5 weeks. I mean, we went through the numbers, how good he's been. Almost 72% completion, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions.
It's weird how they work. The defense is now struggling, I guess you could say.
It's crazy,
and
right?
now Mahomes is back. But now, before, Mahomes was out, and the defense was great. It's like, can you guys just play at the same time?
Or maybe that's just what makes them a good team. They know you're going to have a bad day. I'm going to step it up on my end.
They're like, Pat, we did it for the first 8 weeks,
right.
man.
Yeah, let's go. Now you need to do it. Okay, fine. We'll go out there. We'll take care of business on offense and play awesome. And they did. And they were awesome on offense yesterday. Like, I don't think the offense is an issue other than that left tackle spot. And it looks like, they kind of figured that thing out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully on Friday, at least opportunity to figure things out on Friday. But the dirty little secret is out. This defense is playing like poop right now. I mean, one sack against Bryce Young, really? I mean, the second one, even though I got credit for it in the script, I'm not counting that as a sack. I mean, they got to the quarterback one time. And they made Bryce Young, in my opinion, look like Steve Young yesterday. Mm. Like, that looked like a Hall of Fame quarterback playing against the Chiefs defense yesterday. And he's not a good quarterback. And they made him look like a good quarterback. And so they've got to find a better way to get to the quarterback right now. And, solution starts with getting Charles Omenihu back into the lineup and giving them somebody else. But the real solution, I know nobody wants to hear, because God forbid you talk about somebody who we all love. Chris Jones, my man, you've gone sackless in the last 7 games. I was going to bat for Defensive Player of the Year at the beginning of the year. We're talking about potential Hall of Fame type of candidacy. You can't go 2 months without having an impact. And that's essentially what's happened over these last 2 months. Chris Jones has not really been an impactful player for this team. And until he gets back to double-digit sack level, and I'm not talking about 20, I'm talking about that 10 level where he's bringing the quarterback to the ground, I don't want to hear about disrupting the passer or whatever other stupid stats losers like to use, like hard hit rate and VORP and all that crap. Either you're getting the sacks or you're not. Pressuring the quarterback, to me, just doesn't count at this point in time. It's time to come up with the sacks. And Jones is the guy who's getting paid. And Carl Loftus, man, it's okay to get off the milk carton every once in a while.
It's also okay to, like, you know, see these guys get, you know, a little bit of,
yeah.
Like, hey, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're a first-round draft pick. Act like one. It's like when you have those strict fathers. You're a Likens. Start acting like that. It's like, okay, sorry, dude.
What does that mean?
Eh, you know, you just live up to the family name. Mm-hmm. Live up to the draft pick. You know, yeah. Be that guy. Like, they drafted you because they couldn't get pressure to quarterbacks because quarterbacks were killing them in the playoffs, being able to hang around in the pocket. And then it looked good the first year, looked even better the second year, and now we're kind of seeing, okay, you got 4 sacks in 11 games.
Yeah, like Carl Loftus needs to step up, Chris Jones. The whole defensive line needs to step up.
I just wonder if they can ever play together. Can Pat Mahomes be perfect while the defense is perfect?
Probably not, just despite us.
Just do it when it matters, I guess.
Yeah, do it when it matters in January. And if they play and they win in January, nobody's going to care what they did against the Carolina Panthers. But again, that's the macro versus the micro side of things. It's okay to be upset, you know, with what we saw yesterday, because it wasn't a very aesthetically pleasing game from a defensive standpoint, but at the end of the day, they still found a way to win. And like Andy addressing it yesterday the way that he did, and we played the soundbite a couple of times, was like, you know, it's like, okay, maybe this team is starting to feel a little bit in their feels that they're not getting those blowout wins.
I don't see anybody hanging their head, man. This league is crazy. That's the way this thing goes. You saw it yesterday with college football. Nothing's given to you. And you're getting their best shot. So you keep your heads up, man. And we get this thing rolling. Right? We got some things we got to clean up. We keep it rolling here. That's the important part. Winning is the important part right here. And you guys bear down and got it done. All right, let's give it one Chiefs here. How about those Chiefs?
And the other thing that they got to clean up, too, that we haven't talked much about, 10 penalties, 91 yards.
You think that's his thing? We got to clean up the penalties?
Well, I mean, Mitch had said to us a couple of weeks ago, for like every 100 yards in penalties, you take 7 points off the board, essentially, is what you're doing, right? They had 91 yards in penalties. That's a touchdown that you've basically taken off the board. Mm. I think they probably have 10 more points if they're not in penalty hell. You know, they probably win that game by 10. But 10 penalties for 91 yards? I mean, every time they had a big play, it seemed like they were getting a penalty, a holding, an illegal man downfield, whatever the case may be. Then defensively, you're getting stops and Pinnell's throwing somebody to the ground, or you're getting pass interference penalties in the end zone. There were a lot of pass interference penalties yesterday. Like, that was a big penalty day for the Chiefs, and they still scored 30, and they still won, and they still committed 10 penalties for 91 yards. Like, don't commit the penalties, man. Those are stupid penalties that really, really, really put you at a disadvantage and give the opportunity to the opposition to stay alive. I think to me, that's what it is more than anything. Is that was a bad penalty day yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, was that Moore guy? Eddie Moore? What was his name?
David Moore.
David Moore. Was he cooking McDuffie?
Yes.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's back-to-back bad days for McDuffie.
There was one. Bryce Young missed a touchdown. I mean, it was on a go route and he got cooked. McDuffie was burnt toast against 29-year-old David Moore.
But how much of that is a factor of the defensive
that
line play, not getting to the quarterback?
That play specifically,
know?
Zero.
Zero, okay.
Zero. But I agree with you. Overall, absolutely, they got to be able to get the quarterback with four, which I think Jones absolutely deserves some criticism. I'm there with you guys. But again, one other guy's got to step up and do something to help this brother out. Got to help him out a little bit. But I agree. He's got to get a sack. 7 weeks, that is unacceptable. Unacceptable.
But he's the mayor of Sac Nation.
I know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, somebody says it's arrogant of us to think that we should just show them blow teams out, and when they don't, it's like, no, dude, like, again, like, if you're Sac Nation's mayor, shouldn't you be getting sacks?
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I get it. Like, I understand that he is getting absolutely, you know, mollywopped at the line by everybody, but I mean, it's like, hey, like, you're not getting triple teamed every play, are you? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. I would just like to see somebody.
We haven't heard much from him lately, though, you know.
Which is fine.
Yeah,
that's even better.
Which is even better.
He probably knows it.
He would probably tell you to your face, I need to be better. And that's what's great about this team. Here we are, 10-1, grouchy because they didn't look like our Chiefs. And I think that's okay.
Or maybe this is our Chiefs now.
No. Because they've been two different teams in one season. They've been offense dead, defense so good, doesn't matter. All they need to do is score 17 points. To where now it's like, well, maybe Mahomes is back to just being Mahomes. Maybe it's just like, now we're just going to be the offensive team and every game's going to be 31-21.
I mean, that was their best offensive game of the year yesterday, I think, anyway. You had 9 different players catch a football, 6 different players rush with the football. You mixed it up all afternoon. Patrick Mahomes was nearly perfect, had to make a great play at the end, obviously, to win it, but that's not their fault from an offensive standpoint. I thought they played as good as they possibly could have played, and if you get that offensive performance every game going forward to the rest of the season, they're not going to lose again, and I'm talking about the playoffs as well. The defense now has to bring their end of the bargain back up to where they were at the beginning part of the season.
And that offensive performance that you're talking about is with the O-line looking as bad as they did yesterday, and it was rough, and it was not just we've harped on Wanye, absolutely a problem.
Easy to pick on him.
The right side, and I'm a Juwan Taylor defender, it has been rough this past month, and those three guys, I mean, Bob, you mentioned it every week, it kind of feels like we give those three interior guys a pass. They need to step up, too.
They do, but I mean, also, too, there again goes that like trickle-down effect.
That's fair.
If the guy on the left side is not doing his job, like they say it all the time, and DJ has said this over the years, that you have to do your job, because the minute you stop doing your job and worry about what the guy is doing next to you, then you're trying to do him and his job, and you're not doing your job. And so when you start focusing on his job and you try to pick up the slack for him,
absolutely,
you're not picking up the slack for you, and then you're being compromised at your position. So there's that trickle-down effect. And that's hard to do over the course of the game, because you're looking out there and you're going, okay, this left tackle isn't going to block anybody, so I'm going to shade a little bit to the left. And when you do, boom, the guy in front of you is running right by you because you're worried about trying to help the guy next to you. And so you've got to be able to get out of that mindset that Wanye Morris, sorry, dude, like you're on your own, man. You go do you. I've got to focus on me. And DJ said that's when he became a better player, focusing on what I got to do, because the minute I'm trying to make up for your mistake, then I'm reducing the level of play that I can have, and now two positions are compromised.
I mean, that Trey Smith false start on the right side. I mean, he's thinking about Juwan Taylor and how he's going to have to help him.
There you go.
Yeah, totally right.
It's exactly what it is. And you talk to players over the years when they worry about somebody else and trying to pick up the slack because somebody's not playing their best, they compromise their own job and then they get burnt. And then all of a sudden, like, where were you? Like, well, I was compromising. You can't. It's the old Bill Belichick. Do your job. And it's easier said than done, you know?
Yeah.
Not an overreaction, but we can do some overreactions. We don't have to get to all of them, but we have a few of them. Bob, you have any overreactions over the past weekend?
I got a lot of overreactions from the weekend. Number one, I think we saw yesterday, you know, the Brian Daboll era needs to end in New York. Not only did they lose 30-7, but you have the number one wide receiver on the team complaining about the coach openly in the post-game news conference. And I think when that happens, you probably start losing the team. So I would put Daboll probably on that hot seat, getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Bo Nix, best rookie quarterback in the NFL and is only getting better, put up 29 yesterday. His numbers have been absolutely incredible, and they're making the playoffs, and he is the best rookie quarterback in the NFL right now. 49ers, blow this whole thing up, man. Just start over, trade Shanahan to another team. It's time. That band is no longer together. It's not moving along in the right direction. Sometimes you just got to blow it up. You didn't take advantage of your window. Boom, done. Move on in San Francisco. Dan Quinn, no longer eligible for Coach of the Year honors. In fact, Andy Reid should probably be the favorite in the Coach of the Year honors. And Saquon Barkley is your MVP.
Maybe not off on that Bo Nix thing. He does have better numbers than Jaden Daniels.
He does.
They've lost three in a row in Washington now.
Yeah, that was my cover, too. My ears are perked on Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. Absolutely.
You had mentioned that last week. Yeah, they don't do well in the second half of the season, and they're not playing good football. That game yesterday.
Ugly.
I mean, I've never seen an ending like that. It was 10-9 going into the fourth quarter.
Yes. That's right.
And it ended up at 34-26. And then the missed extra point. Oh, my God.
It was kick return, 88 house call from Scary Terry, kick onside kick house call,
to, yes, everything. My takeaways of overreacting over the weekend, the NFC West is Garbo Key Largo.
I've never liked that division in my life. It sucks.
Trash, dude. Ugh. To be fair, Kyler Murray did have his worst game of the year on Sunday, and it couldn't have came at a worse time.
His touchdown pass was pretty good, I thought, to the Seattle player.
C.J. Stroud, it's rough, buddy. C.J. Stroud's having a rough sophomore year. They've got video on you, man. You got to figure out how to adjust soon.
You got to adjust, man.
Because now that game against the Houston Texans is starting to mean less and less and less, and the games against the Chargers and the Steelers are meaning more and more and more. Miami's still fake to me. I mean, they beat up on New England. Cool. Let's see them play a good team with everybody back.
Are they the ultimate, like, beat the East always, toenails of the state but lose to the UCLA's, Dukes, and Kansas's? Yeah,
they're Indiana. They're Indiana.
Yeah.
Google their coach. He is sponsored by Joggers, which I love and I am jealous of. But again, play somebody that has a roster and beat them.
Yep.
Because last year you went 11-6, and all 6 years games you lost to were playoff teams. You can't beat good teams. Quit playing Madden on All-Pro.
Yep.
Step up to All-Madden.
They're at Green Bay this Thursday.
Okay. Thanksgiving night.
Thanksgiving night.
It's now a good game.
Let's go.
Only one of the day.
Do you think they're going to win in Green Bay on Thanksgiving night?
If Jordan Love keeps throwing interceptions in the red area,
he might. And Tua even addressed it. He goes, I know the narrative out there, we don't play well in cold. It's time to change that.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see, buddy.
You know what you say to that? Huck Tua.
Yeah. Well done. Washington is definitely not the real deal. They still need to get in the lab and figure some things out. And I think Philadelphia would beat the Lions. I think they're better.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't understand the local hatred for Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia now. They're 9-2.
And he saved Christmas.
How so?
And movie Elf.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
You got an overreaction, Mac?
Oh, my God. Wow.
It's good.
I can do it too.
I would say, I mean, just to go along with what you guys are saying, as far as rookie quarterbacks, I think yesterday, or in general, young quarterbacks yesterday in general, was a great example of giving guys patience. What
General
I've been harping
Booty.
On.
Could have given General Booty a job.
Giving some patience to the development of these guys. Anthony Richardson, great day. Bryce Young, great day. Caleb Williams looked electric.
Mm, but not a great day.
Anthony Richardson, didn't the Colts only score 6 points in that game?
Yeah, but if you watch the game, I mean, he looked really good.
He's simply too good.
I don't know. 6 points to me doesn't constitute great. I think we throw that term around a lot. Let's say, I mean, they lost 24-6
against the second best team. You know what I mean? Come on.
I mean, if you're great, you're leading your team to touchdowns.
That's
passes,
fair. He was really good.
Detroit's rest of their schedule: Bears, Packers, Bills, Bears, Niners, Vikings. Are they going
to say that again? Say it again.
Detroit's final schedule.
Right. Okay.
They get the Bears on Thanksgiving Day, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Then they get the Packers at home.
Uh-huh.
They got to go to Buffalo on December 15th.
Uh-huh.
To Chicago on the 22nd.
Uh-huh.
At 49ers at the end of the month of December. And then they're home against the Vikings to end the season.
Wow.
I think.
Do they run the table?
I'm thinking maybe at Buffalo they fall.
Do the Chiefs run the table?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. They do. Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, is it brewing, and you can see it. You can see it coming, baby.
Because they got two left with the Bears, so those are wins.
And one's there, and it's cold. Because that's the big thing with Detroit. It's like, get them out of the dome. Like, they play the Colts. They play, like, at home they play. It's not, again, it's not their fault. It's not their facility. But, again, it's where they play and how they play. So I want to see them go to, like, Buffalo in December 15th.
That's a circle game, the December 15th one against Buffalo. That should be a good game. You know they'll call that a Super Bowl preview,
yeah, there
right?
It is.
Yeah,
yep.
The national media is already lathering up for that one.
You want to see Buffalo beat them? You want to see Detroit beat? Obviously, Detroit beat Buffalo. What am I thinking? Coming up on the other side.
Oh, God, yeah.
Coming up on the other side, is that the one? You're going to need Detroit to give you the one seed so you can go all the way to the Super Bowl to beat Detroit in the Super Bowl?
That's Detroit's schedule we're looking
at. Yeah, because if they beat Buffalo, that's now two games behind you.
Yeah.
Separates tiebreaker. So, in fact, wouldn't that be ironic? I'm going to bring that up on the other side, the irony of what that game could be. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, here we are on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't do some homework during the break. And I like my comrades to succeed. I know Bob Fesco put a hard-earned $5 on Andy Reid to become the coach of the year.
Yes, I did.
Just looked up the numbers. I couldn't believe this. I mean, I should believe this.
The favorite for Coach of the Year now is everybody's heart throbs, the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell at plus 160.
Hmm.
The next three names, I'm not just going to go down the entire list. The next three names that are the next favorites, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, plus 350. So big gap between him and Dan Campbell.
What's Dan Campbell, plus 160?
Mm-hmm. Kevin O'Connell, plus 350. Mike Tomlin, plus 400.
Wow.
Loses to Cleveland, doesn't lose any game in the Coach of the Year.
And was really bad that night, too.
Right. Clock management, timeouts, everything. Jim Harbaugh is fourth at plus 450.
Jim. I could see him being the favorite.
Yeah. Well, I'm cool with that.
So put money on that tonight. And then if he beats his brother,
you're right.
He'll go right ahead of Kevin O'Connell and Mike Tomlin in a blink of an eye.
True.
They beat Baltimore tonight. I'll look it up tomorrow. If they win, I bet that number goes from plus 450 to plus 280.
Oh, yeah, it'll shrink.
Oh, I think it'll be better than that.
Better than that.
Better than that. So you mean worse than that?
Like his odds will be better than that.
I guess
he
now.
Means worse
yeah,
than
right?
that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking about return on investment.
Oh,
here,
no,
Mac.
I've gone cross-eyed.
Yeah, worse than that. Yes, they will be worse than return. Yes, yes.
So you think Dan Campbell will still be the favorite, but he'll be like plus 200 if they win tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
Something like that, yeah. At plus 2,200, it may be time to double down on Andy Reid.
Plus 2,000.
I mean, think about it. He's,
plus 2,000.
What's his record, Andy
10-1.
Reid? What's Dan Campbell's record?
10-1.
Okay, so why is Dan Campbell?
Wasn't Detroit
favorite? So weren't they supposed to be good?
Wasn't Detroit supposed to be good? Like you just said, like wasn't that supposed to happen?
I thought so. Like everybody going into the season, Detroit was kind of the favorite.
Their favorite in the
NFC, know, right? Like
whose division's better? That's a tough one.
Well, that is a tough one because you have three playoff teams in the West.
You have three in the North,
and you have three in the North. Who's the worst team in the North? Chicago.
Yeah,
and who's the worst team in the West? The Raiders. Who's worst of those?
The Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. Raiders don't have a quarterback.
Right.
Desmond Ritter's coming to town.
I mean, they just sold like 15% of their team to a hedge fund that bought Jimmy John's or something.
Man.
Or Jersey Mike's, I guess, right?
Yeah. Jay Mike's. Yeah, I guess it will be. I guess we don't know. I guess it might be Ritter. It might be O'Connell. I don't know. I've heard both now. So.
Oh, you have? See, I've heard Ritter all morning long. Now, that was, you know, a couple of hours ago. Things have changed, you know, over the last couple of minutes. Something may, you know, Daniel Jones may end up being the quarterback of the Raiders.
That's true. I was really hoping that was going to make, because I thought Alex had a great take on the day that he got cut. He's like, here's what's going to happen. Jerry's going to go get Daniel Jones and play him for the Cowboys. And then all of a sudden it like took off. Like it was like Daniel Jones might actually get signed by the Cowboys.
They got Cooper Rush.
He's 2-1 as a starter this year.
I mean, Dallas still has not won a home game yet this year.
Well, they get it this week.
They'll
win it this week.
They'll probably. unless it's a tie, that would be fitting, right? The Giants and Dallas end in a tie.
So when Buffalo goes to Detroit on,
is it at Detroit?
It is at Detroit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they get that game in the dome. Must be nice,
right?
And that's I believe Sunday, December 15th. So when they go to Detroit. I mean, maybe that's an advantage for Buffalo, too. I mean, they don't have to worry about any weather conditions. Yeah. They're going to get the best of the best of the best of Josh Allen.
Don't you want, ultimately, don't you want to have games in perfect, like, we like
why
the snow.
Is the Super Bowl play where
exactly,
it's at?
Because you don't want to be perfect conditions. Right. Yeah.
Unless you have to play it against Tom Brady in his home stadium the one year that the actual team gets to play in their home stadium for a Super Bowl.
Right.
Hmm.
And there's no fans.
That still pisses me off. But it would be kind of sports ironic if Detroit beat Buffalo and Buffalo loses out on the one seed and the Chiefs get home field advantage just to go to the Super Bowl to beat Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand now where, like, the nation hate comes from the Kansas City Chiefs because I think we kind of have a little bit. I'm not saying that we're grinching it right now in Detroit, but, like, that's what everybody else has about the Chiefs where people are like, Detroit's 10-1. They're the best team. Look at their coach. It's like, okay, I'm tired of hearing about Detroit being the best team. Let's see him play the Kansas City Chiefs.
But Detroit
Let's see him play the Philadelphia Eagles.
Detroit doesn't have anything to back it up with other than the regular season. They've yet to do it in the playoffs, right? They got close last year.
They lost the NFC Championship game last year, and I believe they lost in the divisional round the year before.
Yeah. Right.
And both years, I'm going to be honest with you, Dan Campbell's fumbled the bag with clock management.
Yes.
Both years.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's give him coach of the year.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. Detroit's such a surprise. They've got Amara St. Brown, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Dave Montgomery. Well, not anymore. Maybe. I don't know. He got hurt in the game on Sunday. So
yeah,
I don't know the
status.
They said shoulder. Okay. Jameis Winston. Not Winston. Williams. Jameson Williams. Like, you have a loaded roster, but he's doing it without his best defensive player. Oh, boy.
Well, boy.
I didn't know Andy Reid's starting roster was Juju Smith-Schuster and Christian Watson.
Right.
Justin Watson. Yeah.
Watson. Yes.
Dan Campbell eats kneecaps. And Dan Campbell is. I don't know. I'm trying to think about why you
I'm
would
just
give
trying
Dan
to make
Campbell
it make
the,
sense.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
He likes Dollaritas.
He does go to Applebee's, yes. You know.
Who doesn't like a Dollarita?
Hell yeah.
I will not have a Dollarita. I'm good with that. You can have all the Dollaritas you want.
Yeah.
I am out on that. I feel like they're just wringing out rags. And
I'm just starting to get grouchy.
But I wish I could sit here and say why Dan Campbell is head and shoulders above Andy Reid. Maybe it's point differential. 63 teams have started 10-1 in NFL history. Chiefs have the 62nd point differential. Like, only one team has a worse point differential. But so what? You don't get points based on your point differential. I mean, yeah, the Lions have good uniforms. Mm-hmm. Maybe that takes a notch up over the Chiefs.
Yep.
Or Dan Campbell's new, but again, he had expectations, and this is now the third year of them being a pretty good, sustainable football team. Like,
Andy has Mahomes.
Andy has Patrick Mahomes, but you also got Jared Goff, who's now, you know, been the captain of two teams that have been revitalized. I mean, so it's not like they're doing it with a rookie quarterback or with a Bo Nix or, you know, Bryce Young or somebody like that. They're doing it with one of the better QBs in the NFL. Like, I'm trying to kind of just talk myself through as to why Dan Campbell would be so much higher than Andy Reid when they both have the exact identical record in this league, and why Andy just doesn't get the respect that Andy Reid deserves. He won 10 games already this season. I believe Andy Reid is now tied for third all time in the double-digit win seasons, only behind Don Shula and Bill Belichick, who are the top two in wins in NFL history. And Andy Reid is tied for third with 10 win seasons behind those two guys. And I'm like, what am I missing here? Did I wake up and take stupid pills to see this? Because it would be one thing if John Harbaugh was the favorite. And we could say, okay, fine. Harbaugh's, you know, doing some things with the Chargers. Hasn't been done before, blah, blah, blah.
It's today.
Jim.
You know, or Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. You know, it fine. Whatever. You want to make the case for him, fine. You know, I would listen to Dan Quinn, but they've fallen. You know, they've lost. You know, they're out of the conversation right now.
Well,
but to sit there and put Dan Campbell so much further ahead than Andy Reid, it's just, we continue to talk about the disrespect that this nation has for Andy Reid.
Let me ask you this. I know we got to get to break, but what is, and we'll get Josh Briscoe on the other side. What's Detroit's big staple win this year? Let me read you their schedule. Rams week one, they won. Week two, they lost to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's their only loss. Then they beat the Cardinals. They beat the Seahawks. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Vikings. They beat the Titans. They beat the Packers. They beat the Texans. They beat the Jags. Oh, but they beat them 52-6.
So?
And they just beat the Colts.
Yeah. It's
rough.
It's not exactly a murderer's row. They they took care of business against bad teams. Great.
Yep.
Chiefs have beaten all the good teams.
Mm. Coming up on the other side, our Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe, whose show is tonight. You can hear him on 96.5 The Fan. You can hear him next on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.